Welcome to The Contemplative Life. Three pastors, friends, and spiritual companions help us explore spirituality through a contemplative lens.
I'm Christina Roberts.
I'm Chris Roberts.
I'm Christina Kaiser. We're glad you joined us. Hello, it is great to be with you. Today we are talking about stress. I think that's something that we can all relate to because stress is unavoidable. We're just, at some point in our lives, we're going to face stressful situations. So we thought it might be helpful to talk about today. And I thought I would start with a really helpful definition of stress that I heard from Megan Hyatt Miller. And she talked about that stress, in her opinion, is the gap between the internal resources that we think we have and the external challenges that we face. And so the gap of what do we have to bring to the table and what life is demanding of us. And I really like that definition because in that definition, again, there's always going to be what we think we have, what life is asking of us, and how do we bridge that gap to meet what life's demands are. And in that particular working out of stress, I think sometimes it's helpful as we're thinking about that gap to really identify, okay, what exactly is the stress that I'm experiencing right now? I think most of us, even when I say the word stress, like introduce the topic of the podcast, an image probably came to our minds of what stress looks like. Maybe it's, you know, I'm late for a meeting and I'm rushing out the door and I'm having this flustered feeling of stress, or there's something that I can't find that I'm looking for and I feel stressed about that, or I'm going to the grocery store and the prices are higher and I have some financial stress that I'm working through. Whatever it is, whether it's in our mental minds, our physical bodies, we experience these sensations. Sometimes I think too, that gap in our mind can actually be wider than it is in reality. And so I think sometimes just being able to name, okay, this is my stress. And as I'm really unpacking my stress, that gap actually is less. And I do have the internal resources that I don't think I have, but actually when I dig a little deeper, I do have those to meet the external demands. So anywho, I thought we could talk today about stress and maybe how the contemplative life has helped us on our journeys with stress.
Yeah, it's interesting that you invited us to have an image in our mind, or you said an image probably popped up in your mind when I mentioned the word stress. And I think for me personally, I had an image that was very readily accessible. And, you know, when I was in high school, I did metalworking. My dad was a welder and he taught me how to do metalworking, and I had to do some metalworking for some competitions. And one of the things that we had to do is we had to heat up metal and we had to bend it, and then we had to cool it, and then we had to heat it up again, and then we had to cool it. And just that whole process, like the stress that went into, you know, the metal, I think that image comes to my mind as I think about stress. It's like the heating up process. And then the tools that we need, you're talking about internal. Do we have things internally that can help us with stress? And, you know, that cool down process. And how that makes us stronger, like stress, or however we deal with stress, these things that happen in our life, they temper us. They are situations, they are events in our life that either, you know, make us stronger or they break us. And so that's the image that comes to my mind as I think about stress.
I also appreciate how you're pulling out that sometimes we don't think we have what we need, and then maybe we have a little bit more. It reminds me, so our child story, like how we came to be parents, like one day we had a five-year-old, right? So we had raised one child for a long time. And then the next day we had a five-year-old, a four-year-old, and a 13-month-old. And so it just didn't happen the way it normally happens, right? There wasn't all that getting used to it time. And it really felt for a long time like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to be present to this many needs at one time, which is really the reality. And then I was thinking of that just this morning because we have a child going in for some medical stuff tomorrow. And I had woken up very suddenly this morning. It turned out it was only 5:30, but I had seen light in the window while I was sleeping. And I thought, I've missed it, right? I've somehow overslept. And then it turns out it's just the seasons changing. It's just lighter out earlier now. But then I realized like my stomach was sick, right? Like, I feel nervous because she's got a lot of stuff going on, and I'm there's a lot of on my plate to be present to in order for her to have those things. So I've just been noticing, how does this look? So noticing a contemplative act, first of all, right? To name it and be aware of it is a really big deal. And then processing, how am I managing? So for one, like, we've been planning. I made menus and I've pre-made Jellos and things that need to be available for an all-liquid diet for a day. And I keep exhaling, right? I keep breathing, like, these types of things. But also laughing, right? So just have time to tell somebody else, there's this crazy thing happening, and then not hold it with complete and utter seriousness too, but really to let it out in a different way. So just kind of noticing, what are the different ways that I'm getting through this moment? Because it's going to pass.
And I think it's important to acknowledge, I'm hearing from both of you, that there's different types of stress. There's the stress that bends metal in metalworking. There's the stress that you're aware of, and how do you prepare for that? And it's interesting because psychologists actually have two different terms for stress. So one is, you know, distress, right? It's destructive. We feel it in our body. It affects our relationships. And I think that's, you know, what we typically think of with stress is that distress that happens to us. But there's also eustress, E-U, eustress, which actually makes us resilient. It makes us able to handle more in the future. It's a good type of stress. It's a needed stress in our lives. Too much of that can cause distress, but some of that in that gap that we're naming is good because it does build that resilience in us when we have that eustress. And so, you know, a great example is when you're working out, right? And you have to put some stress on the muscles in order to break it down and build it back up again. Chris, you kind of naming the heating down and the cooling off. And I think, you know, I think even Christina, to your point, you know, we adopted our first two children and then we had a biological son and he had some medical things. And in the hospital, they assumed that this was my first child because it was my first birth experience. And I was pretty calm about what was going on. And so the nurses in the room and there was a doctor, they're like, are you a doctor? And I said, no, I'm not a doctor. And they said, wow, you're really calm for a first parent. Usually parents are blaming themselves and think that they did something wrong. And it was like, oh no, this is my third. And so that stress, that resiliency had built up in me in that particular situation. So I think it's interesting, those different types of stress that we're naming today.
Yeah, I think sometimes I really thrive on, for instance, a busy schedule. A busy schedule is a form of stress in a way, but it gives me this like, yes, let's do it. Right? This is challenging. Whereas if the schedule is very spacious, I kind of slow down. I'm very much more molasses-y. So I thrive on a schedule that's just busy enough, which is sort of like the workout. By the way, my ab workout this morning is a perfect example of eustress. So yeah, there is this kind of, there are aspects of stress that people thrive on, and we can often name them for ourselves even.
Yeah, and I appreciate you naming the two different types of stresses that we might have as in, and particularly like the destructive stress. Like, I think there are a lot of people that have that destructive stress in their lives. And, you know, I was recently talking about the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, there's the first two steps are like admitting that you're powerless, you know, that your life has become unmanageable. And then the second step is, you know, you came to believe that there is a power that's greater than you at work in your life. I think the contemplative and stress, like coming to believe that there is a power greater than you at work in your life and you reflecting on that, I think that could be super helpful for managing or maybe going through that destructive stress that we're talking about. And so I really appreciate you naming that and the different ways that we experience stress in our lives.
Yeah. And I think there's invitations sometimes to let go and to release some of that distress. And then there's sometimes invitations to invite. So the stress of a new situation, it's stressful, but we know that we're going to be better for it. Maybe going into a new class that we're a little apprehensive about or a new social situation. And there's something about that challenges us, where if we just have a flatline life, that does seem pretty boring and redundant. And I don't think that we were designed for that. So I think it's important to have that texture in our lives.
Yeah. Yeah. So like sometimes a big move for sure. And then there's the struggles, right? And so I think of, I mean, not too long ago, I found, like, just the stress of COVID and trying to travel during COVID and too many unknowns, it became too much for me. And so in that moment, I felt like suddenly I needed the support of others. Like, I needed a counselor and a spiritual director. Like, I just needed people. And honestly, the meaningfulness of somebody, because I just felt broken for a minute. And for somebody just to say, like, you're doing a good job. And a little part of me thought, what do you know? We just met, you know? But the other part of me really needed a little bit of that kind of cradle. Like, you're doing it. You're doing the thing. That was super healing. So just to share and have somebody listen compassionately, it was like, if I would have only ever had that one session, that would have done so much. Of course, we had more than that, but that was a very meaningful first moment.
And that's important to highlight. Sometimes that gap, we do have more than we think internally, and sometimes we don't. And so that means that's invitation to then go get, you know, the counseling and the therapist and the spiritual direction. So I appreciate what you're naming there, that aware of that gap and what do I need? What source is going to be helping me in that gap to close that gap in my life?
I appreciate you saying that we need community, because I think, you know, you named the pandemic, and, you know, I think a lot of individuals are probably thinking that, man, this is rough. I don't know if anybody is experiencing this the way that I am. And so, you know, to some degree, we're isolated from our feelings and we're isolated. We don't know how other people are taking the pandemic, how they're doing in life. I think we're just trying to grit our teeth, bear it, get through it. But, you know, we know that mental health is at an all-time high. Like, we're in like another state of crisis. And, you know, therapists, spiritual directors, high demand jobs, because people, I think, are awakening to this idea that, man, this is rough. These experiences, I need somebody to help me to make it through. And I think for us to say to ourselves and to individuals, it's okay to get help. It's okay that you're seeking outside sources, because it is rough. This is a challenging time. Mental health is, you know, I'm a person who, you know, I would say that I've never had a negative thought in my life. I'm pretty happy go lucky, but this has been a rough time. I think acknowledging it and some of the things that we're bringing out is, like, it's okay to seek help or to want to talk to somebody about how these stresses are unmanageable. And so I really appreciate both of you guys lifting that up.
Yeah. And even reflecting back, you are doing a good job. The fact that you're showing up and paying attention to that, that does matter. And, you know, someone was talking the other day about, they were sharing with a friend, like, oh, I'm so stressed. And they were sharing about their day. And the friend reflected back, wow, it sounds like you had a hard half an hour. And it was like, you know what? You're right. I actually had a pretty good day. This half an hour was really hard, and that's tainting my entire experience. And so really appreciated that feedback from the person. It kind of put it into perspective of, okay, I can deal with this half an hour, and it doesn't have to, like, paint the entire experience of my day. So I think, you know, even sometimes those friends reflecting back in that loving way is helpful.
That's a super good point. I'm in the middle of a book called Thrive right now. I think it's Dan Buettner is the author, but they talk about measuring happiness, and it turns out it's best to look at chunks of a day. So to say, and so people do this, it's like, I felt most happy, for instance, while I was socializing with people or during dinner, and then, like, the spectrum goes all the way down to commuting. Commuting is, like, one of the least happiest times. But it comes back to this point, right, that our struggles tend to be encapsulated in these very specific points of our day, and they're mixed in. So we have a lot of this mixing. So that noticing, right, to be able to sit back and take in all the parts of the day, it helps. It really does help if we can zoom out a little.
I agree. Well, thank you so much for a generative conversation around stress. Hopefully you found this to be helpful. I certainly did from my neck of the woods. On this note, we're going to transition to the part of our podcast where we talk about what we are into this week.
Well, by the time this podcast comes out, Mother's Day will be over, but I have been preparing for Mother's Day by making a lot of cheesecakes. So in my younger years, I learned how to make cheesecakes and found it just delightful. So I went out and I bought a crazy amount of ingredients for for cheesecake making and spent my weekend doing that. So in a way, it's not just making the cheesecake. It's like the gift of giving the cheesecake is kind of what I'm into.
Nice. I like getting cheesecakes, so no pressure on getting one to me.
I will keep that. I will keep that in mind.
Well, I've been into, I think I mentioned a few episodes back, being into researching of shoes, wanting new shoes. And I wanted to wait a little bit before I plugged this shoe, but I found a shoe researching all the different shoes. It's the Ultra Lone Peak 6. And it has blown my mind for all that it does. It has a huge, it's what they call a wide toe box. I mean, it just hugs my foot. It doesn't have that much of a heel. And it is probably the most comfortable shoe that I've ever worn. And I tore my calf not too long ago. And so it's helped me get back out and enjoy walks. And so I love the new shoe that I was all into researching not too long ago.
Yes, I can testify to the joy you have been experiencing with those shoes. Well, by the time this podcast airs, Cinco de Mayo will have come and gone, but I am into Cinco de Mayo celebrations. And we have a friend who is from Mexico, and every year they open up their home and she makes, you know, tamales and sopes and all the things. And they turn their living room, dining room, kitchen into like a cafe. So you can come and dine in, you can take out, and it's like delicious, amazing homemade Mexican food. So I am into our friend's Cinco de Mayo Mexican festivities. Thank you so much for joining us today. As you may have picked up upon, we very much value community and relationship here at The Contemplative Life. And so we'd love it if you had a moment to drop us a line, maybe tell us where you're listening from, or if you have any questions or topics that you'd like to see addressed here on the podcast, you can find all of our contact information on our website, thecontemplativelife.net. Until next time, make it a great week. Thanks.